The following content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT AM 1490, your source for news, talk, and the arts. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Back again on the Live and Local program, WKVT AM 1490, 100.3 FM. I'm going to spend a little time visiting with Chris Vitello. He is a member of Brattleboro Memorial Hospital's Rehabilitation Services program. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I guess maybe we will talk a little NCAA brackets. We just spent the whole commercial break talking about it because Chris is lamenting his own brackets here. I didn't mean to publicly out you.
That's
there,
okay.
But you were saying, I heard you talking about it. Man, it was tough this weekend.
Yeah, it was. I think a lot of people are in the same boat here, you know, busted brackets because there's been a lot of upsets.
Mm-hmm. And the first weekend, right? Because now we go into the Sweet 16. You want to at least feel good about it going into the second weekend in terms of I still have a chance. And then maybe if you lose, then you feel good. But at this point, do you stop watching now, or are you enough of a fan of the actual game?
I'm enough of a fan of the actual game. I mean, I think the basketball is good. Even though I picked some people to win that got beat, it was fun watching the upsets too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you always got to root for the underdog, even if your bracket's getting busted. It's kind of hard and it hurts a little bit, but it's great basketball. So I'm still watching.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes March Madness a bigger thing than just a event for sports fans, is the fact that all these non-sports fans get involved and start rooting for the underdogs, no matter what their level of knowledge of the teams or the game is. They just enjoy watching it play.
Absolutely.
None of the conditions you talk about in your upcoming column, upper extremity pain, strike me as basketball related, but I might be wrong about that. Chris Vitello is writing, one of many rehab services members, writing articles for the Friday Health column in the Brattleboro Reformer. Yours, I believe, is coming up this coming Friday.
I think so.
Yeah, called Upper Extremity Pain. I was kind enough to get a sneak preview from the hospital of it, so I have some semi-intelligent questions to ask you about it. And it was actually surprising to me because you start off talking about tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, something also called washerwoman's thumb, which we'll get to in a minute. But I just assumed tennis elbow, golfer's elbow was kind of different names of what was basically the same condition.
Oh, yeah, they actually affect two different sides of the elbow.
Mm-hmm. And this is because of the motion. I mean, they call that, I guess, when I really started to think about it after reading, when you're swinging, can everybody see me at home swinging the tennis racket versus swinging the golf club? One is kind of an interior motion. One is kind of a exterior motion.
Right. Yeah.
So how would you distinguish these when you're talking to a patient about them in terms of diagnosing which one they have?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you come in to occupational therapy, we do an evaluation on you. You know, we come in, the doctor has already sent you with a referral that will tell us, you know, what they believe is going on. And, you know, we do a full evaluation. The golfer's elbow is actually on the inside of your arm. So if you were to put your, you know, hand on the table, you know, and with the palm up, if you touch the side of the elbow that is closest to you, to your body, that's where you're going to get golfer's elbow. That's all of the muscles that flex your wrist and flex your fingers. They all kind of sit back and insert on the side of the elbow there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're going to feel the pain and the discomfort that's associated with the golfer's elbow.
Are there any, you know, obviously for non-golfers who can still get golfer's elbow, what are some common tasks, what are some things that would cause that same kind of pain in that same location other than golf?
Well, you know, gripping tasks, you know, a lot, I think of, you know, maybe twisting on a screwdriver or a wrench, or, you know, you're doing some gardening and you're digging for a long period of time, depending on how your posture is, how you're doing that task, you know, you might be overusing those muscles and that can cause some pain, some tenderness to that side of the elbow and give you what's called golfer's elbow.
Okay. So as opposed to tennis elbow where the pain is in a different place, what are some tasks that would cause that kind of pain?
Well, you know, the same type of things can happen depending on what you're doing. But, you know, the tennis elbow is, you know, on the outside of the elbow, on the other side, complete other side. If you're doing a lot of, you know, resisted extension of the wrist, if you're lifting a lot of things, you know, and you've got that wrist extended, you might be overusing the muscles that extend that wrist, that extend those fingers. That's going to give you pain on the lateral side of the elbow or the outside of the elbow. So anything where you're going to be lifting, extending that wrist with some resistance and doing it a lot of times can kind of get you in a position where you might get something like that, like a little bit of pain on the outside of the elbow.
Right. You bring up gardening, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there right now who wish that the weather was going to allow them to start getting their gardens ready.
I'm one of them.
And you're one of them. But unfortunately, we may have one more little snowstorm here or big snowstorm, depending on what the forecast gives us, what Mother Nature provides. But we are at a time of year where people will be doing more of the exact activities you just described, in addition to maybe getting ready for tennis or playing tennis at the club there indoors or getting ready for golf, going to the driving range. Is this a time of year where you see more of these upper extremity sort of pain conditions and issues, or is it not seasonal in that way?
Well, I mean, every season has different tasks that can kind of get you. I mean, when you're shoveling snow, you can certainly irritate those forearm muscles
as well.
Yeah. But with gardening, I mean, certainly, people weeding, you know, people come in and say, I would weed. I need to spend an hour, 2 hours at it just to get the job done. You know, one of the things we talk about when you come in to try to help you alleviate some of the symptoms involved with these things, whatever task it may be, is breaking the task up, maybe taking some rest breaks, giving those muscles a rest, letting them, you know, get some blood flow, rejuvenate so that you're not asking too much of them and irritating, you know, or causing the pain that's associated with these type of musculoskeletal issues.
Yeah, because these are repetitive injuries that come about from doing a repeated motion versus, say, an injury that's caused by underuse of a muscle and then it's not properly exercised, warmed up, and you tend to pull it. You talk about this in the column that these are injuries to your tendons.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that are a result of repetitive stress. Is that fair to say?
Well, they certainly can be. I mean, you could have a traumatic event that causes one of these. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's repetitive, but a lot of times it is the repetitive use that, you know, may continue to contribute to this and not allowing it to get better. Because you're not allowing it to rest, you're continuing to use it through the pain, and that's when those repetitive type of activities can cause you some grief, you know. But certainly you could, you know, have, you know, a traumatic event where you lift something once, felt the pop, and kind of started this off. You know, I hear that sometimes, but the repetitive type of activities is what we take a look at to try to see where can we take rest breaks, where can we modify it, how can we do it a little bit differently so that we're giving the muscles involved some rest.
Yeah, rest breaks, that's very un-Vermont. You know that by...
yes,
we don't
certainly
believe in taking breaks. If we got a little pain, we just keep going. I actually I think you said tennis elbow was the outside one.
Yes.
And I got that one, you're throwing wood, and I had the pain, and I just kept going with it. Just idiot Vermonter. Now, the other condition in here was one I hadn't heard of, and I assume that this one certainly extends out beyond the washerwoman profession these days. But washerwoman's thumb, or I'm not even going to attempt to the other phrase for this. Do you care to?
Sure. It's de Quervain's tenosynovitis.
Well done.
Thank you. So
tell us what washerwoman's thumb is, please.
Well, it involves the muscles that extend the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
There's two muscles there that do that, extend it and bring it out to the side. They run in a little sheath kind of at the base of the thumb. That can get pretty irritated, the whole sheath and tendons in there can be really painful when you're lifting, when you're extending that thumb, when you're twisting the forearm with certain tasks that, you know, we have to do every day. So that's something that is more in the wrist than the elbow. The other two were, I was talking more about the elbow, but those muscles there, right at the base of the thumb, is where you're going to feel that pain, where you're going to feel that irritation.
Would that be a different kind of pain than, say, I mean, when I think hands and I think hand pain, I think most people would attribute that to arthritis or something like that. How would somebody distinguish the kind of pain they were experiencing with washerwoman's thumb from a different kind of pain, or does that matter even?
Well, I mean, pain is so subjective. It's different. Your pain is different than me. You know, we all, you know, talk about pain in a different way. There is differential diagnosis that needs to be done to figure out, okay, what's the underlying cause? Could it be arthritis at the base of the thumb, or is it the tendons that are involved? There's some simple clinical tests that have been, doctors have come up with that we can use during the evaluation to see if what we think is going on is going on. Some clinical tests. One of them that comes to mind for de Quervain's tenosynovitis is what's called Finkelstein's test, where you try to, you know, kind of stretch those two tendons that are involved, and it can cause some pretty intense pain when someone has a pretty acute tenosynovitis going on in that area.
Does that kind of testing happen at the primary care level, or do they refer to you all at rehab services to do that testing?
They're probably doing it at the primary care level, but we're also doing it ourselves, so we, you know what's going on ourselves. So we'll definitely run you through some of those clinical tests as well.
Right. All right. And we'll talk about some of those clinical tests. We'll take a quick break here. We've talked about the problems. Now we'll talk about the solutions with Chris Vitello when we come back. Chris is an occupational therapist and certified hand therapist with Brattleboro Memorial Hospital Rehab Services. You can reach him by calling 257-8255. Back in a minute here on Live and Local. Chris Vitello of Brattleboro Memorial Hospital Rehabilitation Services is our first guest on the Live and Local program today. Brattleboro Memorial Hospital's Rehab Services is a sponsor of the Live and Local program. You can learn more about all of the programs and offerings they have at bmhvt.org. Spent the first part of the segment talking to Chris about upper extremity pain. That will be the subject of his column, probably published this Friday in the Brattleboro Former, but published soon for sure. So we're giving you a little sneak preview here about tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, washerwoman's thumb, other upper extremity. Those are the three you describe in there. Did you use those, Chris, because those were the most common? Are there other ones that you would see commonly around this area?
Yeah, there's certainly other ones. I mean, you know, I was sticking more to kind of the muscles and the tendons with these.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's nerve issues as well. You know, carpal tunnel syndrome is something people know a lot about or have heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, that affects the nerves. It can be a compression of the nerve that runs into your hand. Certainly other peripheral nerves as well that can get compressed as well. So we get, you know, we see that as well. We are also seeing people after injuries, you know, where, you know, they've needed surgery and then they need rehabilitation to get back their strength, range of motion, and their function. So, I mean, we see a lot of different things. I was just trying to focus on three of the more common kind mm-hmm. of musculoskeletal injuries that we have.
Yeah, and as you point out in the column, these all involve tendons of muscles in the arm. Now, a tendon, maybe you could spend a little time describing what a tendon is, what its function is, and because it just strikes me, you know, your choices when you're treating any sort of affliction here are surgery, medication, or rehabilitation. And so I want to know, just with regards to a tendon, why rehab is the way to go.
Well, you know, it all depends on how afflicted you are. But mm-hmm. a tendon, if you want to know what the tendon is, the tendon is the part of the muscle that it's the end of the muscle that attaches to the bone. So, you know, our muscles are there to help us move our joints.
Mm-hmm.
So as a muscle contracts, it's got to pull on a bone. So the tendon is going to attach the muscle to a bone. That can become injured either from, you know, a traumatic event or by repetitively doing something that's irritated the tendon. So, you know, we see people in the clinic, you know, we try to teach them or educate them what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first step when you come to rehab is kind of, you know, figuring out what you're doing that is causing the pain, when you're having the pain, and then maybe going over, you know, ways to modify the way you're doing things so that you can decrease the pain,
mm-hmm.
so that you can decrease, you know, anything that's kind of causing more pain. Once the pain's kind of subsided, then it's time to strengthen that muscle. You know, it's time to rebuild your back up so you can get back to doing what you want to do. A lot of times this painful you know, conditions like mm-hmm. the three that I talked about, they'll keep you from doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is, let's stop the pain, get you back to feeling better, and then build you up, get you, you know, stretched out, get you strengthened so that then you can get back to doing what you like to do.
And you mentioned in the previous segment too, with regards to, I believe it was the golfer's elbow that you said afflicts people when they're doing gardening sometimes. Was it the golfer's elbow or the tennis elbow?
Could absolutely,
it could be either.
All three of them.
It could be any of the three.
Yep.
But you mentioned people's posture when they're gardening. So it isn't necessarily something that they're doing in their arm, but it's another part of their body that's affecting the tendons in their arms. And that's always interesting to me. I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about maybe where their pain is coming from. You know, they certainly feel where the pain is, but they don't necessarily think about where it's coming from. Is that, I mean, that's part of what you're doing when you're talking to them about getting rid of the pain before strengthening. You work on things like posture?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we always like to talk about because, I mean, you know, the body, everything's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I heard that.
Yeah. It was a song, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they made a song about that. Exactly.
Right. So they were right. So, you know, how you approach your activities, you know, you want to take in consideration how you're sitting, how you're standing. Are you erect? Are you using your core stabilizing muscles so that you're putting yourself in the best position to get a task done? If you're slouching over and you're not using, you know, your shoulder blade muscles to stabilize the arm, you know, there's a possibility you could be overusing, you know, your forearm muscles or muscles that are further down the line, further down the arm, and asking them to do a little bit too much. By talking about posture and getting people aware of it and getting them to work on that, you're getting a good base of support so that whenever you do anything, you know, you're putting yourself in the best position to get it done without causing any injuries.
Right. So your rehabilitation plan may include strengthening parts of the body other than the part of the body that's been hurt.
Certainly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So, talk a little bit about, if you would, when you get, I mean, is it just that individualized in terms of people start saying, well, it isn't hurting me as much when you go to the strengthening part of things? Give us a sense of how long that process would take using rehab services.
I get that question a lot when people come through the door.
Oh, yeah, they want to know, how long do I have to do this before I'm better, right?
That's right, absolutely. And, you know, it's individual. Yeah. Everybody will progress at a different rate. You know, everybody's injury is different than the next person to come in or the person that they talk to on the street who had the same thing, they said. So, you know, it's subjective. You listen to the patient. You listen to them and what they're saying to you. You know, if they're coming in and saying, hey, it's not that bad. It hasn't been bad for a week now. You know, it's down to, you know, a 1 out of 10. We use a visual analog scale, mm-hmm. 10 being the worst imaginable pain possible, 1 being comes and goes, 0 being none. So we, you know, we're always, you know, assessing that when people come in. And if their pain is getting better, it's going down, you know, we'll then start to add, you know, more vigorous type of exercises, you know, stretching. And then strengthening the muscle as long as they're doing okay with that. You know, we don't want to flare it up and cause any type of flare up of the injury. So we're always reassessing and assessing as we go, listening to the patient to make sure what we're giving them is working for them and getting us and them to where they want to be, which is getting back to doing what they want to do.
And getting back to doing what they want to do pain-free or coping with the pain? What's a realistic expectation? What's a realistic outcome expectation for doing rehab services? Is it just coping with the pain or is it actually getting rid of this pain?
Well, you know, it's all on an individual basis. Some people do leave therapy with no pain. Mm-hmm. Other people have a lot less pain and they have what they need to continue with. Yeah. To hopefully get them to the point where they have no pain. You know, I wish I had a crystal ball and could say, oh, it's going to be 6 months. You're not going to have any pain. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know. You give people the tools they need. And once they're, you know, independent with everything, you know, sometimes I'm telling people you're done with therapy. You know, you have everything you need. They may not necessarily be pain-free. They're feeling much better. They're doing more. And then they can go on. You know, and also, you know, sometimes these things, they're pretty bad and they might need to go see an orthopedic surgeon or someone else for further workup. You know, there are surgeries out there for these type of things.
Sure. And there's medication as well to help manage the pain.
Absolutely.
But when you're doing the rehabilitation, especially you mentioned, you give people a plan. If they continue strengthening those areas of the body that they need to strengthen, there is a chance that they won't need surgery. There's a chance they won't need to manage the pain with medication. They can go forward with rehabilitation. I would imagine, especially in a community like this in Brattleboro, that's a really desirable message. We have a very, you know, community that's very attuned to natural remedies and self-sufficiency.
Yes.
So I imagine rehab services here in Windham County is something that a lot of people gravitate towards.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of people walk through the door. Yeah, and if they're, you know, willing to kind of continue with the exercise and do those things, I like to think that we can keep people from having to seek out some of those other options.
Right. The goal is, I don't want to see you again. No offense to you, but I want to get you on your way and get you out there. Is there any way you can do that, or do you do check-ins with previous patients? It's probably really hard considering the amount of patients that, you know, Brattleboro Memorial Hospital gets. But in terms of making sure people stick to their plans, is there anything that you can do to make sure that that happens?
Plead with them to continue to do their exercises.
Please, please, right.
That's a hard thing.
And that works, huh?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Well, thanks for your time today, Chris. You don't have to play. I'm already like sitting here like, oh my God, my posture's terrible. I need to stand up straight. So just you being in here telling me about it has helped me.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, great. Check out Chris Vitello's column probably in this Friday's Brattleboro Reformer, maybe next week's. But sometime soon, upper extremity pain. And next time you're over in the hospital, say hi to Chris. He's over in the Rehab Services Department in the Richards Building. He can also be reached by calling 802-257-8255. We'll be back on Live and Local with Talk Radio News Service after these messages.
The preceding content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT AM 1490. You can get more podcasts by going to www.1490wkvt.com.